Chapter 19. The Emperor's Sons. Upon the fringes of the Betagarman system, the veil between the worlds parted, and a fleet of incomparable size sailed free of the madness behind the world. Ships came in such number they blocked the light of the stars. Battle barges, cruisers, battleships, carriers, troop ships by the hundred. On and on they came, a gathering of might that had emptied the crowded orbits of Terra. At their head flew the Red Tear, the Primarch Sanguinius's command vessel, an immense Gloriana-class battleship of rare make. Its form was unique, and far divergent from its sisters, being cleverly remade to resemble the winged blood-drop badge of the Ninth Legion. Sanguinius ordered the ocular shutters opened before the last of the warp's unclean energies had bled off, so the crew of the Red Tear were forced to hold up their hands to their eyes to shield them against the otherworldly fires streaming off the flagship's prow. Sanguinius stared into them as intently as an oracle reading the patterns of less uncanny flames. What he scried within them, he told no one, but took a stern expression upon his face, sat back in his throne and spoke.
"So, this is what Rogal's master has bequeathed us."
The curls of the warp's embrace flickered to nothing, giving clear view of a boiling sea of incandescent gas. No enemy awaited them. A signal from First Captain Ralderon saw 500 warriors in red relax their weapons from firing positions around the edges of the command deck. Their movement was a sudden clatter, loud in the quiet of diligent men and women at work, then as suddenly gone. The Space Marines became still as statues, only the quiet hum of their battleplate reactors hinting at their living nature. Beside Sanguinius's throne was a second seat, also made for a Primarch's stature. But Jagatai Khan, for whom it had been installed, did not sit in it. The Lord of the Ordu had no use for thrones. He was poised forever on the edge of action, like his hawk namesake, ready to abandon its station in the sky and plunge down, talons outstretched into bloody conflict.
"The Garman Nebula is born anew," the Khan said.
He folded his arms. Like his brother, he was fully armoured. Many places in the cluster that had been pure black now glowed with the embers of war. The Khan did not misspeak. It was as if the cloud of gas that had birthed the cluster had returned.
"How many ships must have died to provide us this display?" Sanguinius said. "We sail into a sea of fire."
The Khan's eyes moved across the view, unerringly seeking out each of the cluster's major systems. He was so far-sighted and so calm, one could believe he saw onto the surfaces of those distant worlds and found no challenge there.
"Thousands?" said Jagatai. "More?"
He looked to his brother.
"This is as bad as we feared."
"Worse," said Sanguinius. He was pensive. Where Jagatai seemed to look into every cranny of reality, Sanguinius stared beyond, at a darkness mortal men could not apprehend. The great angel had changed, as had all the Emperor's loyal sons. But the pain of treachery laid more heavily on Sanguinius than it did the others. One gold-clad hand clenched his throne arm, the other moved up to his chin. His wings twitched, rattling the ornaments adorning them.
"We expected to fight our way through," said Khan. "Where is the enemy?"
"I believe we are late," said Sanguinius.
"Time check," he called down to an instrument pit built into the floor.
"The voyage was passable," said the Khan, continuing their conversation as the crew rushed to fulfill Sanguinius's request.
"The warp is still in turmoil. The storm may be over, but the powers within work against us."
An unmodified human in a Blood Angel's fleet uniform presented the Primarch with a scrap of paper.
"We are late," said Sanguinius.
He handed the note to his brother. Weeks late. Open all Vox frequencies, he called to his crew. Send out messages via every means to all loyal factions. Inform them of my presence.
Keep me out of it, brother, said Jagatai. Our plans should remain as we agreed.
As we discussed, said Sanguinius. Let your announcement be the roaring of your guns and engines. I shall be the hammer blow, you the striking dagger. Do you know where you shall go first?
I have a few ideas, said Jagatai. I find it best not to tie myself to plans. To the likes of Dawn, plans are the walls of a fortress. To me, they are the bars of the cage. I go where the wind blows me.
You are the wind, Jagatai. The hurricane. The tornado, said Sanguinius.
Sometimes I am, when opportunity permits, said the Khan. Move fast, strike hard, improvise. But no hurricane, no matter how it gusts, can blow out the fire we see here.
Sanguinius nodded. The light from the burning clouds ahead lit his face in fiery orange and turned his wings golden.
If only we could.
He looked to his brother. That is not our purpose. If we can stop Horus, we shall. But having seen the void itself aflame, I say Dawn's assessments were correct. The matter will not be settled at Beta Garmin. We bleed him. We break his forces. We steal as much of his might and his impetus as we can. Then we depart to rejoin Rogel. The Khan inclined his head in acknowledgement.
I thank you for your company during this voyage.
He paused.
I have been a little too eager to retain my independence. It has been a pleasure to spend some more time with you.
He looked at this brother with proud eyes. There was a yearning to be away in them, but he spoke sincerely. Sanguinius bowed his head.
My hospitality is ever at your disposal, brother.
And mine at yours, said the Khan. I will ready my legion. I shall inform you of my first target decisions before we depart. After that, you shall know of my deeds by the cries of our enemies.
As it should be.
No doubt we shall not meet again until we stand shoulder to shoulder upon the walls of the palace.
Sanguinius stood from his throne. Jewels tinkled all over his armor and wings. He embraced his brother and rested his cheek against the Khan's.
Make sure you return, my brother.
His words were a sorrowful whisper in the other's ear.
There are too few of us to stand against him. If we are both lost here, we doom our father.
Nothing shall stop me.
That I wholeheartedly believe.
You will also be there, said the Khan.
Sanguinius's beautiful eyes closed against a private pain.
We shall see.
They parted. The Khan grinned.
You will be there. The great angel stood against the coming dark.
He gestured at the burning void.
This sally is but an appetizer. The feast of war awaits us on Terra, and you will have a place at the table. It can be no other way.
We must trust that it is so.
Sanguinius's smile could not hide his sorrow.
Until next time.
The Khan laid his hand on his brother's shoulder, their gazes locked.
Do not do anything rash.
I shall try not to.
The Khan nodded and walked away. The sanguinary guard, stationed by the main access portal to the command deck, clashed their weapons in salute as he departed. Sanguinius sat back upon his throne.
Ralderon, he said, calling his first captain to him, oversee the gathering of intelligence. Present it to me as it comes in.
For many hours, Sanguinius remained on the command deck as the fleet hung stationary in the void. At first, there was no response from the beleaguered worlds, and Sanguinius was left to brood. His visions of death had not left him, and though he had come to terms with what must happen, the fact he did not know when or where his death would befall him tore at him. The War Master could be speeding towards his fleet that very moment. He might have only hours to live. He could have months. But he was going to die. That much was sure. There remained the possibility that he rushed too fast for this confrontation. Knowing the future made it harder to deal with. Was he, in fact, responsible for his own death? Were the visions he suffered of his bloodied corpse and Horus's triumphant face the result of his own impetuous need to see out the prophecy? He was numbed by the paradox. Act, don't act. The decision tormented him, despite his resolve to see past the hard trammels of fate and forge his own destiny. His experiences on Davin had removed most of his doubts, but intensified others. He thought of his wayward brother, the Night Haunter, whom he had cast adrift in space. "I think," thought Sanguinius, "that I understand you now, Conrad. You go to your fate, and I go to mine." The Red Tear knew his pain. Like him, it had been deeply hurt, and like him, it had yet to be fully restored. Gilliman shipwrights had done their best during the heretical days of Imperium Secundus, but much good work had been undone again by the Veritas Ferrum, the demon ship sent to bar them from Davin. He felt its aches as his own. Both appeared hale on the surface. Both were wounded in the heart. A deep gloom descended over the Primarch, in which he was lost for some time, staring out of the oculus at the sea of fire. In his mind he saw Horus's face, bloated beyond recognition by dark powers. He saw the swing of his maul. He saw his own death again. And again. He remembered the price his sons would pay, the twin curses unleashed by his demise. If there was any viable alternative, he would take it, but on offer were only two differing sorts of damnation. The sense of purpose he had found on Davin was fragile. Like a fire, it required tending. Its fuel was faith, and Sanguinius found his faith wanting. "My lord." Ralderon's words penetrated Sanguinius's thoughts, but did not rouse him. He heard them as an echo of a memory, something caught just on the edge of hearing as the maul descended again. "My lord, Sanguinius." The first captain's hand rested on the golden forearm of his lord, small as a child attempting to comfort his father. Sanguinius came abruptly alert at the contact, making Ralderon take a wary step back. The great angel looked about himself in confusion, unsure of where he was. His face cleared. "Ralderon," the captain saluted. "The first communication has arrived." He held out a plastic flimsy, printed with hard black words. Sanguinius took it. He scanned the marks of purity and relay details. It had come from the command center of Alpha Garmon, passed through the great Carthegia Telepathica, the giant temple relay on Beta Garmon 2. He glanced up. "Is this all it says?"
"Besides the detail, yes," Ralderon said.
Sanguinius returned his eyes to the single line of text, translated from a psyker's dream. Below it were columns of information of military strength and current strategic circumstance. But the personal message held his attention. Sanguinius read it aloud. "Thank the Emperor." Then communications from all over Beta Garmon began to arrive. The astropathic messages trickled in slowly, in ones and twos at first. When a few more hours had passed, they became a flood. A picture was pieced together quickly from the flow of information. A large tactical cartolith was ignited, and as each scrap of data was processed, more of the situation in Beta Garmon was filled in. Dawn's great muster had not proceeded to plan. A lack of coordination was apparent right across the war zone. Within the first day, several commanders presented themselves as being in overall command, three of them openly denouncing the claims of the others. So many different armies, ranging in size from ragged bands of survivors to entire battle groups, had arrived in the cluster from all over the Imperium, that it would tax even Sanguinius to organize. Dozens of worlds, millions of men, scores of Titan legios, he said, going over the latest batch of communiques, all arriving from different directions under different commanders and at different times. Too much of it is being fed piecemeal into the grinder, said Ralderon, gesturing at the hololith. There is effectively no organization here. Why are these Titan legios throwing themselves into battle alone? Why do they not fight together?
They are proud and independent, said Sanguinius,
even of the forge worlds they protect. The reorganization of the Mechanicum is further compounding the problem.
It is madness. They are discarding our opportunity for victory.
Sanguinius looked at his gene son.
In similar circumstances, we would be no different.
Sanguinius set the data slate aside.
What can we expect?
The ripples from the ruin storm yet perturb communications and transit. This is the great war of our epoch. More than guns endanger us. The so-called gods themselves work against our every effort.
This is not Cygnus Prime, countered Ralderon. There is no mention of demons in the messages. The materium is free of Neverborn taint.
It is not Cygnus Prime, said Sanguinius.
Nor is it the madness of Davin, or the insanity of the Veritas Ferrum. But demons and poisoned reality are not the only tools of our foes. There are many assets here that were once the Emperor's to command. We are opposed by the great entities of the warp. No war will ever be simple again. There can be no victory here, only the forestalling of defeat.
Oh, even so, said Ralderon, we have the Carthesia. It should be a tool for command, but instead it is used for the listing of the slain. The tally of the dead grows longer by the hour. What purpose does it serve to mourn the dead when the living still die?
With no one to issue commands, it is unsurprising it is put to this use. It is a cry of pain to terror, which I have answered. He stood. Ralderon, call together my captains and my chapter masters. We have enough information to construct a plan of war. We meet in the Prime Strategium within the hour. Make it so now.
My lord, Ralderon bowed.
Sanguinius raised his voice to address the command deck crew.
The rest of you here, continue your spying. Bring me everything there is to know about the cluster. I do not expect my brother to show himself to me without effort on our part, but I will face him. Seek him out. Find me the vengeful spirit. Find me the war master, so that we might bring him to heel.
The crew redoubled their efforts. Servitors ground out mechanical affirmations of orders received. As Sanguinius noted their diligence with satisfaction, fresh lights shone in the void. He looked out to see the White Scars vessels pulling away from the greater armada alone. That was their way, to hunt and fight without support, striking with no warning. The great ships seemed to move slowly, but they were accelerating all the while, and soon they were only bright points amid the universe's display of cosmic baubles. Then the void shivered, and the White Scars slipped into the warp, and their lights were gone.
Good hunting, brother, said Sanguinius.
Messages came through from the Khan, and were brought to his attention. Sanguinius waved them away. He did not need information of Jagatai's first target. If he knew his enigmatic brother at all, it would be a worthy strike. He sat and became thoughtful again as he awaited the gathering of his legion. A black humour settled deep into his bones. For the first time since his struggles at Cygnus Prime, he was truly alone.